welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. So it's that time of year. Bigger crowds at the gyms and health clubs. Well-meaning souls seeking to fulfill their New Year's resolutions to lose weight, get fit. This is what it sounded like at one local gym recently. A couple guys shooting baskets, people walking, running on the track, pedaling the exercise bikes. Most of us know the basics of good health by now. Eat less, exercise more. Dr. Lenny Kaminsky is an exercise science professor at Ball State and director of the Fisher Institute of Health and Well-Being.
This is the time of year when people are making New Year's resolutions, and I'll bet exercise has got to be one of the top three. You know, dieting, exercise, I don't know what else, kindness.
Yeah, it certainly is. That's that. Almost every fitness center gets a big boost in January, and I know the regular attenders to the fitness centers, they get frustrated by that these people are coming in and are getting on my machine, my treadmill or bike, and I can't come at the time I usually do because they're all over it, and it's almost like they take a vacation from the fitness center for 6 weeks, and then they come back in mid-February because all those people have given up at that point.
People do tend to give up. Do we know why that is? I mean, you just get tired of it or discouraged or...
Well, they haven't made a firm commitment, John. That's the biggest problem. And sometimes the goals they set are unrealistic goals. So you get into something that you're really not, you know, fully prepared for. You haven't developed the habit yet. And it does take a habit. Any behavioral change you're making, whether it's trying to eat better or exercise better, you can't accomplish that in multiple weeks, a couple weeks. It really takes some time. And in my field, we would really recommend people give it a good go for at least 4 to 6 months. And when in my overall experience, if people could make it through a whole calendar year, so they go through all the things that come up in a calendar year, the different stresses and holidays and vacations and things that do that. And if you work through a whole year, usually your chances of maintaining that new behavior are very strong.
It sounds as if there's as much a mental challenge, a psychology here, as the physiological challenge of starting to exercise or getting going again.
John, I think for most people it's much bigger mental challenge than it is physical. You know, certainly there are some physical things that when you start exercising and you haven't been doing any of that in the past, you know, you might get sore, you feel uncomfortable a little bit, but it's really more the mental challenges and really making those changes to your lifestyle that you've had certain habits, and habits take some time to break and to make new habits. So it really does require more of a strong mental commitment and some preparation.
You mentioned a half an hour a day. So if you just walked a half an hour a day, that would be a big benefit. It's not that you necessarily have to hire a fitness trainer and go to the mountaintop or something.
Yeah, that is very true. It's really a lot of the benefits that you could get would be, you know, just doing something as simple as walking 30 minutes a day. Now, again, if you do something a little bit more intense, so instead of walking, maybe you get on a cycle, or running is something you enjoy and you'd like to do that, something a little more intense, you'll get a little bit more benefit, or at least a quicker response you'll get that from doing the more intense activity.
Are we still learning new things? I mean, we've been studying exercise and fitness for decades, and people have been promising since the beginning of time to do better, right, in the start of the new year. Are we learning anything new about, I know some of the research that Ball State does on the fitness of astronauts and on what happens to us if we don't exercise. There's been a lot of new information about that, I think, right?
Yeah, and I think even on the converse of that is where we've learned a lot is doing what you and I are doing right now, sitting. If we sit for prolonged periods of time, there are really detrimental effects from that. And then we've got this term we use sometimes, you got the active couch potato. So it's the person who You know, maybe they do that 30 minutes of walking, you know, every day. But if they spend the rest of their day sitting all day, it's almost kind of counteracting those effects. So what you want to do is have the activity. So the walking or jogging or swimming or any of those things, that's the positive side. But on the other side of it, avoid that prolonged sitting. That's a real key thing that we've learned.
Did I read something about that, that sitting all of the time can be as bad for you as obesity or smoking or something like that?
Yeah. Our bodies really have been designed to move. And if you just stay in one place for a prolonged period of time, it starts almost down-regulating that the systems in the body, everything is not functioning very well. And so you're almost training your body to be in a dysfunctional state by sitting for prolonged periods of time.
So those of us who really have a big workout every day with our fingers on a keyboard, mm-hmm. and we are sitting, is there a rule of thumb that you need to get up every hour or something like that? And
yeah, there's evolving research out there now, and we're really experimenting with different protocols. We don't know the exact time, but the standard thing that we recommend now is at least every hour get up for a couple minutes. And it could be as simple as just you're standing up at your desk and you do some stretching or walking around your desk in the office or, you know, walk out and greet your colleagues. That might be something new to try to do that. So actually just getting up. And then what you see, that I have in my office is actually a standing platform. So I spend more of my time standing with a little rest versus sitting stationary at my desk all day.
Lenny Kaminsky, professor of exercise science at Ball State and director of the Fisher Institute of Health and Well-Being, talking today about the resolutions for health and wellness some of us make at the beginning of the year. Coming up, an affordable, popular fitness program with individual monitoring to help clients stay on track.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
New Year's resolutions, so many times involving diet and exercise. We know what to do, but staying with it can be hard. Dr. Matt Harbor is director of the Clinical Exercise Physiology Laboratory at Ball State University and head of the school's adult physical fitness program. Fitness. Now, there's a word.
Fitness as a word has a lot of different definitions, and it's used inappropriately or inaccurately a lot of times. A lot of times we conflate the concepts of fitness versus physical activity. And in our professional world, they are different things. But really, what we need for people to do is be more active, to be more physically active. That's the start. Hopefully, if people are physically active enough and in the right ways, that will lead to improvements in fitness, and that will carry over into some of the more the robust health improvements.
Are we less fit today than our grandparents were?
Absolutely. And one of the ways that our program has evolved over the last 40 years is members joining our program are now less fit than they were in previous decades and have more risk factors for cardiovascular disease. And so that changes even the makeup of our program. Instead of people exercising for fitness, now we have people exercising for health, which kind of changes the dynamic.
This program's been around for a while. That's why you would have some data.
Right, we have data back to the 60s. I think officially our beginning was 1971 on the books, but we have data, exercise and testing data back to the 1960s.
In the 1970s or 1960s, we were a thinner country.
Right, absolutely. The most noticeable trend and the one that gets a lot of play in the popular media is the increase in obesity that's happened in the last even two decades. And what's accompanying that now is increase in cardiovascular disease, increase in diabetes. But what gets lost a lot in that is a decrease in physical activity and exercise is probably what precedes, at least to some degree, the increase in obesity epidemic that we're seeing.
We're just moving less, for one thing, right? Is that because more people are working behind desks?
There's a lot of reasons for that. As technology improves and develops, a lot of those tools are meant to be convenience factors. And not convenience necessarily from a lazy perspective, just convenience from an efficiency. We do things more efficiently so that we can be more productive. And a lot of the consequence of that is that we're less active. There's less manual labor, less movement. So certainly occupation-wise, there is a decrease in physical activity, but even in all aspects of our lives, community structure, sidewalks, walking paths, bike paths, close proximity to essentials, grocery stores, things like that. There's not a lot of access in some communities, in a lot of communities, for pedestrians, which decreases physical activity.
Part of it's a mindset, right? So people will be kind of fighting for a good closed parking space even when going to the gym.
True.
And so that would be why there's this difference between physical activity and fitness, right? From what you're saying, I'm guessing you'll settle for people just being more active right now, and we'll worry about fitness later. That'll come, right, if they're more active.
Yeah, certainly the goal population-wise is to get people to be more active. It's easier for people to digest, I need to take more steps, or I need to walk for X amount of time. It's easier for practitioners to measure than it is to measure somebody's fitness level. And so it's just a more acceptable public health message that way. I look at it in terms of physical activity is a lifestyle. You're committing to parking further away from the store. You're committing to walking or taking bicycle transportation when possible, whereas fitness is something that you're trying to achieve meaningfully and you're working towards. And obviously physical activity helps you get more fit. But at this day and age, the way our society is now, physical activity is the biggest need. And it's important to note that the people that get the most benefits are the individuals that do the least amount of activity. When they go from doing no activity or little amounts to even a little bit, there's noticeable gains. And so the return on the investment is highest at the low end of the scale.
Really what you're saying is that start somewhere, do something, mall walking. I mean, we kind of joke about that, but if you get up in the morning and you walk at the mall for half an hour or so, that's going to make a big difference if you're not doing anything right now, right?
Absolutely. Any type of activity is going to be meaningful, and it doesn't even have to require structured activity, even though that would be preferred. Things like standing up from your desk every 30 minutes or every 10 minutes, taking walks around the workplace, those types of movements that aren't structured exercise still have benefits from a health perspective. And even though they may not be adding up or contributing to the bigger picture of activity minutes, it's still important to move. And so I think one of the barriers that a lot of people face is if they can't achieve the guidelines, then they will just not do anything. And doing nothing is never an option. So even minimal amounts of activity are going to be very important. The other point that people should understand is accumulating 10-minute bouts of exercise. Three 10-minute bouts of exercise has a lot of health benefits on par with a 30-minute walk. So if you can't carve out 30 minutes, or maybe physically that's not feasible, there are ways to achieve a lot of the benefits, with alternative plan.
You keep saying.
Dr. Matt Harbor, director of the Clinical Exercise Physiology Lab at Ball State and head of the school's Adult Physical Fitness Program, talking today about health, fitness, and exercise. That program is open to everybody, by the way. You can Google that up and see how you can get involved. When we come back, more with Dr. Lenny Kaminsky on the science of staying fit.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
some of this is just intuitive. You know, your mom said, get out of the house, right?
Right.
People have urged forever, walk more and eat less, that sort of thing. But there's also a science to it. Can you just talk about what a MET is and how that helps us understand different levels of activity?
Sure. A MET is kind of a term that we use, and the basic thing people might understand is metabolism. So if you think of your resting metabolism, how much energy does your body use at rest? That's what one MET is. And then we try and look at activities as multiples of resting levels. So, you know, the walking we mentioned before, if you go out and walk at a brisk pace, somewhere between 3 to 4 miles an hour, that's probably going to be somewhere between 3 to 4 MET. So what basically you're doing 3 to 4 times the level of energy requirement as you are needing at rest.
So is there general guidance that says you need this many METs in a day or this much time of METs or things like
that? Yeah, the absolute standards that are out there with these recommendations would be that you want to get, when we use the term moderate intensity, so you want to exercise at least hard enough to get some benefit, and moderate intensity is defined as a level of 3 METs or above. And then 6 METs or above would be vigorous intensity. So things more like jogging would be 6 METs or above. And so, you know, when we look at that 30 minutes a day of kind of the moderate intensity exercise, the walking, you could get about the same benefit if you did 15 minutes a day of the more vigorous, the 6 METs.
You know, since a big part of this is kind of motivation and the psychology of it, people need to know that everybody has had to start somewhere. Can you just talk about your own case? I mean, have you always been, you look so fit, have you always been that way?
Unfortunately not. I actually, my first job, I was an accountant. So my first degree was in accounting, and my first job was as a desk accountant. And I sat at my workstation, and we took the breaks, which were filled with lots of good sweet treats, and they brought lunch in every day. And I quickly gained quite a bit of weight in the first 6 months I was working. And the thing that I kind of joke almost saved my life from that perspective is I was a lacrosse player, a sport that required me to run up and down a field quite a bit. And the season is into spring. So it was that this time of year, really, making that New Year's resolution that I said, if I wanted to play lacrosse this spring, I can't carry all this weight up and down the field. So I started jogging. And I, you know, started slow. I had, you know, had to jog a little bit and walk, jog a little bit and walk until I could finally jog continuously. But I did that religiously for 3 months. The weight fortunately came off because I hadn't had it on that long. And ever since then, it's, you know, that's been the solution. It's just regular activity has helped me, fortunately, keep my health pretty well.
So you might jog for 5 minutes or something and walk a couple of minutes or something?
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. The kind of standard, it actually goes back to Bud Getchell, who started the program here. He had a very structured walking jogging program where you'd kind of do some intervals of that. You'd walk so far, then you'd intersperse like 1 minute of jogging, and then you'd, you know, walk a little bit and another minute. And then the next day you came back, and now Bud would say, okay, do a minute and a half of jogging. You started reversing that to the point where then you were doing longer bouts of jogging with shorter intervals of walking until you could do that continuously jogging.
Can you talk a little bit about Bud Getchell? He had such an impact on Ball State and on this program.
Yeah, Bud, he was the founder of the Adult Fitness Program at Ball State, and really he did his training with the person in our field we call the founder of fitness, T.K. Cureton, who was a professor over at the University of Illinois. So Bud trained with him, brought those principles to Ball State, and was really kind of a revolutionary at the time of doing that. Bud would, he's got all kinds of stories, but, you know, some of the ones when he got these, it started with men jogging, and then quickly the women got into doing that as well. But at that time, people didn't see joggers out on the streets. And so some of the men that he got doing that actually preferred either coming to the little place at Ball State where they could do that, where other people wouldn't see them, or doing it, you know, more random times of the day, because people would look at them very strangely because they were, that was totally unusual at the time. So Bud was way ahead of his time with that.
Are our waistlines expanding because we're exercising less or eating more, or does anybody know?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of those two, but it seems like you know, what's really driving more the obesity thing, that the statistics on fitness levels and the amount of activity they people have had haven't changed dramatically. If anything, maybe, you know, hopefully they're nudging up a little bit, but it's really the density of the foods that people are eating, the volume of foods that people are eating. And it's there's some very great graphics you could look at what the size of the food plate was. Typically that you and I would, you know, our mom would put that plate in front of us, and the size of that plate when we were young to what the size of that plate is now. And most people, what you put on their plates, they will consume. And so it's really the volume of food and calories people are taking in that's really driving more of that.
What keeps you going? You know, I guess you have to find the right time of day, for instance. Some people, first thing in the morning. I think you're a noon workout person.
Yep. You know, I think the biggest thing that drives me is you just feel better after. I feel better when I do it. And I'll tell you, just from today, there's a friend that worked out at noon every day, and we were talking in the locker room after, and he just says, I love this. This is just so good for me. And he was a person who hadn't been exercising a year ago. So really kind of late in life has taken to this. And the exact same thing I just mentioned, he just feels so much better. So that's kind of, it's not an addiction, but it's really, that's what drives the habit. You feel better from doing it. And if you kind of get away from doing it, you don't feel as well. So, you know, all of us want to feel better. And you know, I think that's the biggest thing that we respond to.
It helps if you can recruit a partner too, right?
Oh, certainly. That for most people. Again, everybody's different. There's some people, I'm just independent. I want to do things on my own. But more likely it's going to be, do you have somebody that could help you? Because, again, as you're building that habit, sometimes it's a struggle. And you're going to have some of those days where, oh, I'm not sure I want to do it. And if your buddy or your spouse can say, come on, John, let's go today. And I know maybe this isn't your best day, but let's go and give it a try. And you encourage them, too, likewise. So it helps both of you by doing that.
Dr. Lenny Kaminsky, professor of exercise at Ball State and director of the Fisher Institute of Health and Well-Being. He and Matt Harbor have a way of making the science of health and fitness feel interesting. If you like the sound of the adult physical fitness program, it may be worth a look. They start out with an assessment to see where you are now, provide daily exercise supervision and counseling to get the most of your time. You know, in a perfect world, we just muster up the willpower to eat less and walk more. But it's a psychological struggle, and the experts say it can be helpful to partner up with some people in the same boat. However you get there, good health is worth the effort, and starting with just a half-hour walk each day, well, that's a good start. And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, Debbie Webb, Alicia Franklin, and Elena McKenzie. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.